The pandemic has had some pretty startling effects on our habits. A lot of people exercise more. Obviously, people shop online a lot more. And now there's this. People are recycling more in Las Vegas. A new survey by Republic Services, which hauls trash and recyclables in Clark County, had findings like this. 65% said spending more time at home has made them more aware of their impact on the environment, and 33% are sorting recyclables more. But there's also this. About one-fourth said they don't understand what can and can't be recycled. 17% said they don't have enough information on recycling. And 15% said recycling makes no difference. Well, does it? Or does all the trash and recyclables just get mixed together in the end? And if you have other questions about recycling, we have the experts. Jeremy Walters is Republic Services Community Relations Manager, and Tara Pike is UNLV's Sustainability Coordinator. Together, I'd say they're basically the dynamic duo of recycling in Southern Nevada. Jeremy, Tara, welcome back.
Thank you for having us back.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we get into this, if you have questions about recycling, our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Email is son@knpr.org. You can message us on Twitter at KNPR News or leave a message on Facebook at Nevada Public Radio. And by the way, if you're hearing this, hear that crinkling sound? That's my mask when I'm breathing in. Sorry about that. I'll try to figure it out during the break. But now, first, Jeremy Walters, Republic Services. Jeremy, what struck me about this survey is almost a year ago, Nevada reported that only 20% of the waste in Clark County was recycled, and that was 10 points less than in Reno and 15 less than the national average. Your survey said people are thinking more about recycling. Are they actually recycling more?
Yeah, they are, but it's still a marginal amount. I mean, we're still in the low 20s for recycling rates. You know, the pandemic has created some unique challenges, but it's also created unique opportunities to address the waste stream, really see what our individual waste streams look like at home. And that's kind of what this survey is detailing. It's showing that people are becoming more aware of the amount of trash that they're making and hopefully spurring some sustainable shifts in their lifestyle.
Are they becoming more aware of it because by sitting at home, they're creating more of it?
In a sense, yes. But if we think about pre-pandemic, right, if we were working in an office, you know, going to the university, kids are at school, we each have what I call two waste streams. We have our home waste stream and our outside lifestyle waste stream. So, you know, when you're out at the office, you're out at school, you're creating trash. And, you know, if you're in an office building, you may have a janitorial staff who actually takes that trash and recycling out for you to the bin. So you're a little removed from that process, and you maybe don't realize how much trash you actually generate. Now you're spending time at home, and if your significant other is there, especially if you've got kids there, you're seeing all that waste that you did make out in the world at home, and you're saying, wow, we create a lot of trash, and maybe it's time to start making some of those sustainable shifts.
And again, our number is 702-258-3552, 702-258-3552. Our email is son@knpr.org. And we're taking your questions on recycling. A new survey said so many more people are thinking about recycling during the pandemic. We've had time to sit down and sit at home and see everything that we're putting into the trash. But what can and cannot be recycled? That's a big question that people have. And Jeremy, we just got a message on Twitter about batteries, and actually I had this question written down for you. This person says, we take batteries to a private store, but would love to know if Republic Services has deposits for that, and also lights. If I take my batteries, everybody has a million AA batteries, can I throw them in a recycling bin?
No, absolutely not. And I gotta say, I really appreciate the commenter on social media doing the right thing, and that is the right thing to do with it. There are designated drop-offs for electronics, but also batteries as well. You know, our typical household batteries, AA, AAA, you know, those don't pose the enormous risk that the lithium batteries do. And so we've all got one. I'm sure we've all got a cell phone somewhere near us or a tablet, a wireless device. These lithium-ion batteries are probably the single most scary thing that we see come through our recycling centers, but also our transfer stations and ultimately to the landfill. If they crack, if they puncture, they get oxygen to them and fires start. And these fires are very significant, especially when you think about the composition of the material at a recycling center. There's a lot of paper and cardboard. That's a great fuel source for a fire to get out of hand. So please, please take electronics. Take them to designated electronics drop-offs. We do have electronics recycling programs. If you check out republicservices.com, you can mail back your electronics, but never place them in the recycling bin.
Well, where are these? You know, convenience is very important to people.
Sure.
Driving in Las Vegas isn't, you know, people don't want to drive a lot here because the traffic's so intense, so they want to have someplace close. Are there a lot of places to drop off batteries?
There's quite a few. I think just about any Target nowadays has a little drop-off bin at the front of the store, and Tara can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the larger electronics retailers also have opportunities. There's also mailback programs. There's a number of programs. If you just hop on Google and type in battery recycling, they'll send you a little pre-postage box, and you can ship things back and have them recycled.
Yeah, Best Buy has a drop-off for, not for your alkalines, not for the ones like your, you know, normal household ones. You can throw those in the garbage. They're safe in the garbage. But your NiCads, your lithium ions, your rechargeable batteries, all of those need to go to a drop-off like at Best Buy. All the battery stores, the light, like what is it called, Lamps Plus or Batteries mm-hmm. Plus, those take them back.
Yep.
What about light bulbs?
Yeah, light bulbs can be dropped off, like Tara said, bulbs plus batteries. There's a couple of places like that.
You can't put light bulbs in the recycling bin?
Not in the recycling bin.
But I'm sure most people just throw those away.
You can throw them away in the regular trash can, but not in the recycling bin.
Okay, but if you take them to a recycling place, they'll be recycled somehow?
Yes, they require specialized processes, and that's the thing that people get a little confused on is that, you know, like a bulb, let's take a light bulb for example, yeah. Just a regular incandescent light bulb. It's a glass bulb, and it's got a little piece of metal on it. Well, glass bottles and jars are recyclable. Metal cans are recyclable. Mm-hmm. So we tend to think that, oh, it's got recyclable components to it, therefore it can go in the curbside recycling bin. But there's vast differences between what can actually be recycled curbside versus what requires special handling.
And then your compact fluorescents obviously can should not go in the garbage. Those really do. They're like the fluorescent tubes.
Oh, yeah.
Those shouldn't go in the garbage.
Really?
No. You can throw your LED lights in the garbage. You can throw your incandescent lights in the garbage. But you really need to take your fluorescent tubes and your compact fluorescents to like Home Depot. They have a...
And Home Depot will take that stuff.
They'll take small quantities. If you're a contractor of some sort, they're not going to take your fluorescent tubes. But as a homeowner, right by the return desk, they have a compact fluorescent. Oh. You want to make sure they're not broken.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, keep them intact.
Okay. Our number is 702-258-3552. 702-258-3552. Like a lot of people during the pandemic are thinking about the environment more. People have had time to sit and see how much trash they create at home. So a lot of people have questions about recycling, and that comes from a new survey by Republic Services. And with us is Jeremy Walters of Republic Services and Tara Pike. She's UNLV's sustainability coordinator. And we're taking your questions again, 702-258-3552. And joining us now is Cecilia. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things that I've been wanting to recycle is a couple of TVs that are really old. They have a tube in the back, mm-hmm. and, you know, not only they're very heavy, and I've called places like, you know, Target, and they will not take them. I'm just wondering where would be the best place.
Yeah, that's a great question. Jeremy's nodding his head as though he has the answer. Jeremy, bring it home.
Yeah, well, you know, tube TVs, they are very outdated, and we're finding fewer and fewer of them nowadays. If you do want them to be recycled, Tara can also chime in. There are companies or nonprofits like the Blind Center that you do typically have to pay to dispose of them. They're not going to take them for free. Mm. But if you want them recycled, you can actually take them to places like the Blind Center. I don't want to give out a rate and it be wrong.
Okay.
It's not a lot, but you can take them there.
Yes. There's also a company called Sustain. And again, you do have to pay a small amount for a tube TV because they are they do contain hazardous materials, and they do require a lot of specialized handling.
Okay. Again, 702-258-3552 is our number. Now joining us, Aziz from Las Vegas. He has a question about plastics. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
My question is, how much of the plastic we sort out and put in the bin is recycled? I am an environmental scientist by training myself, and I heard a report on NPR, and also my own reading has led me to believe that the plastic industry has been lying to us in terms of recyclability of plastic. And in that NPR special, ex-officials of plastic industries were kind of blowing the whistle on the fact that the industry knows that recycling plastic is so expensive that no recycling has been done, or a lot of the plastic is very difficult to recycle. So my question is, what happened to the all the plastic that we generate and we put in separate bins?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, that was one of my questions I had, Jeremy. In fact, the story he's talking about was in September. NPR did a special report that dug into these memos of the plastics industry going back 50 years. And they realized that plastic recycling probably wouldn't make money, and getting new plastic is much cheaper for a company. But they wanted to keep the plastics industry going. So they said, let's keep marketing the recycling of plastic so that people feel good about it, and then we can keep making plastics. There's, on top of that, there was the news from 2 years ago that China was going to stop taking plastics, and they were the number one importer of recyclable plastics. So right now, what's happening at our landfill, at our recycling center with plastics?
Sure. So, you know, this is a very popular question, and it's one, it rightfully should be so. But it's not as clear-cut as I wish the answer could be.
Okay.
So when we talk about plastics, it is a very challenging, unique material to deal with. I can tell you that if you're placing the right plastics in your curbside recycling bin, we're capturing all of it.
Okay, and who's getting it? Where is it going to get recycled?
So primarily where we send our plastics from the Las Vegas facility is a company called KW Plastics out of Southern California. Our company as a whole, nationwide, has made a pact that we're no longer exporting plastics. So that's where this kind of takes a little bit of a turn, and I'll try and sum it up as quickly as I can. Not all plastics are created with recycling in mind. And as we sit here and we have things on this table, right, we've got hand sanitizer wipes in a plastic pouch. That was not created with recycling in mind. So when we start looking at these statistics globally that say, you know, a marginal amount of plastic, I think they say like 9% of plastics actually get recycled. That's because of all the plastic produced. That's probably only the 9% is probably only the stuff that can actually be recycled. So, you know, on the flip side, this hand sanitizer bottle, that bottle can go through the recycling process because that's what is marketable. That's what's designed for recycling. So when we talk about plastics, it is a very convoluted answer because it's just not clear cut. So that's where I tell consumers, if you can make educated decisions on choosing products that, number one, come in less packaging, but B, choosing things that come in packaging that you know is recyclable, that's how we're going to make these shifts. But not all plastic is created with recycling in mind.
Yeah, this bottle you talked about has the recycling triangle with the number one in it. In the story that Aziz mentioned, the NPR story, they talked about it like a lot of companies will stamp their products with that triangle with different numbers, knowing they can't be recycled. So give me the numbers. If you see this number on a product, you know it can be recycled.
Yeah. Here in Southern Nevada, we take plastic number one, number two, and number five. They're in a rigid plastic jug container. It's a container, right? And you are spot on with saying that companies do stamp things with a recyclable symbol, and it can be very misleading. A perfect example is a grocery bag. We've all been trained growing up, hey, we see a recycling symbol, we think that that means that it can be recycled. If you look closer, some of those actually will even say inside the little triangle or below in very small print, store drop-off only. So there's stipulations to it, and you do have to find that out. Nationally, plastic number one and two is widely accepted. That's probably your most fundamental recycling stream in terms of plastic. And you might find nuances from city to city, town to town. But here in Southern Nevada, we take 1, 2, and 5.
Good. Remember that, people? 1, 2, and 5, especially as Christmas hits and a lot of things. Tara, you wanted to say something?
I think it's just important to know if it's a plastic container.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, you know, people think, oh, it's plastic, it's recyclable. So, like, the bag that the grapes come in, that's not recyclable. The, plastic film is just not recyclable in the curbside program. I just can't tell you how many of my friends think that those are recyclable.
Grocery bags, paper grocery bags recyclable?
Yeah, paper grocery bags are completely fine. Mm-hmm. But Tara brings up a really important thing that I just want to reiterate. Flexible plastics. We're talking bags, wrap. You talked about online shopping earlier, Joe. All the flexible padding that comes inside the box, none of that is recyclable curbside. You know, it creates a number of challenges at the recycling center. And I would say universally, flexible plastics are probably the number one problem that we have at any of our recycling centers across the nation.
Hmm. That's really interesting. I mentioned the grocery bags because, you know, the grocery store I go to, and I'll just say it, Trader Joe's, it's just switched from paper to plastic.
I saw that.
And the plastic, though, is heavier. Mm-hmm. So I wondered, I was thinking, oh, this must be recyclable, but probably not.
It's not. No, anything that is, like I said, bag or wrap material doesn't go in the recycling bin. If it's plastic, paper bag is fine. But, you know, the most sustainable choice is, A, bringing your reusable bags.
Bob from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead.
I live way up in the northwest off of Craig, pretty close to Lone Mountain. And there's a constant problem where I see refrigerators and washers and dryers and whatever thrown off the side of the road. And I was wondering if Republic has any plans for any more transfer stations, because I was at your Cheyenne facility maybe a couple of years or so ago, and the line was like about a quarter of a mile. I mean, it went down the road, and I finally gave up and found some dumpster that I could throw my trash in. But I think the fact that there's such a long line down there makes a lot of people just throw their hands up in the air and throw their trash or refrigerators or washing machines, heavy equipment, throw them on the side of the road.
Yeah, and Jeremy, this goes back to something we said a bit earlier. Convenience is so important to people. But what about transfer stations and the possibility of adding more of them?
Yeah, we don't have any current plans of opening any other transfer stations. We do have two. We do have the one over off Cheyenne and Commerce, and then we do have the one over in Henderson off Cape Horn Drive. You know, there are definitely times of the day that it is busier than others, but, unfortunately, you know, sometimes the line gets busy and, you know, there's nothing we can really do to control that. We just all have a responsibility not to dump in the desert. And I can tell listeners out there, if they do see someone dumping in the desert, if you can, from a safe distance, take some photos, you can turn those photos into the Southern Nevada Health District. Their illegal dumping task force will contact you. And then they will usually get a hold of the person that did it and take care of the problem.
I've got to ask you this, and maybe Tara Pike as well. Is there much incentive for Republic to recycle? And I ask this because you have the nation's largest landfill, and at 2,200 acres, it's supposed to last another 230 years before it's filled. And you're, I guess I can ask this question. You are sort of a quasi-public because, you know, taxpayers pay for the service. You're a private company. Do you make money on recycling?
Not really, no. But we do have the incentive to recycle because we are not just a trash company. It is not in our best interest. It's not in our shareholders' interest for us to just landfill material. We see the value in recycling, the intrinsic value, right? It's a community value. Just because we can fill a landfill doesn't mean we should. You know, that old adage, just because you can move a mountain doesn't mean you should. That same thing applies for recycling. There are valuable resources that have a place in the market to be reprocessed into actual goods. So we have sustainability goals. There are certain materials that are more valuable than others, but it is a challenge sometimes to turn a profit on recycling.
702-258-3552 is our number. 702-258-3552. recycling is it's really something that's on a lot of people's minds. And a new survey by Republic Services says more so now during the pandemic, when people have actually had time to sit down and think about it and see what kind of trash they are creating in their own homes and environments. Again, the number 702-258-3552. And Nicole from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Joe, thanks for taking my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I live in an apartment community on Stephanie and Wigwam, and this apartment community, Republic Services is the company that we use to remove the trash, and there are large bins throughout the community, and there are always two bins side by side that one says trash, one says recyclables. Now, when the trash company, Republic Services, picks up the recyclables and the trash, it all goes into their truck at once in the same compartment. So I'm wondering if some of the oils and dirtiness from the trash gets onto some of the boxes or recyclable materials and makes it non-recyclable.
Okay, first of all, Nicole, have you seen that many times? Or did you see it
once?
Have you seen...
Oh, no, I've seen it many times.
Many times. Okay. Jeremy Walters...
Yeah, so, you know, apartment complexes are always a hot topic when it comes to recycling because it's not always implemented. One of the challenges that we see is the contamination factor, and that could be because the driver is having to make a conscious decision. He can see or she can see what is actually in the recycling bin, and it may not be worth trying to save a few bottles and cans when there's bags of food waste and mattresses in an apartment complex recycling bin. Realistically, apartment complex recycling has challenges with contamination. There's ways to combat it, but it takes a community effort. And so it could be simply that the driver has to make that decision that we can't really recover any good recyclables out of there because it's contaminated.
Yeah, Tara Pike from UNLV, there's no mandate for people in an apartment complex or really in a single family home to recycle. Before I moved to Las Vegas in the Midwest, the city I was in mandated it, and you could get fined not a lot if the clear plastic bags that you put out on the curb for recycling had non-recycling materials in it. Is that something that is ever going to happen here, or is it even wise?
I don't think that it will happen here. I don't think that there's a lot of public push for that, and I don't think it would happen unless the public demanded it, which is the case for most things. I think that people are going to recycle if they understand it and if it's, like you said, convenient. You know, I go out of my way to recycle, but I don't think everybody does. And in terms of apartment recycling, I would really hesitate to even think that they have recycling dumpsters at that apartment complex, because I don't really think there are apartment complexes in Las Vegas that have recycling dumpsters that I can think of.
Some do, but there's not a lot, and you're on track with that. And typically where we see successful apartment recycling complexes is where the complex offers a porter service for you to set your trash and recycling on your doorstep, and then someone comes and collects it for you.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, they can then control truly what goes in the trash container and what goes in the recycling container, because there is an incentive for the complex as well, because if they have contaminated recycling bins, they get assessed a contamination fee. They don't want to do that. They don't want to lose money by getting assessed a contamination fee because the residents aren't recycling properly. So porter services are one really excellent way to combat that contamination issue.
Right. And we have a drive-up and drop-off at UNLV that allows people from apartments to bring their materials to us. I know that's not convenient because you have to drive it somewhere, but it is an opportunity for apartment complexes to recycle and know that their materials are getting recycled. We do not have a contamination problem with our drive-up and drop-off, and that's because the people are making a conscious decision to bring their material to us. I also find that those people recycle more properly. We don't have a lot of problems with improper plastic in our bins. We don't have problems with food in the bins, all those kind of contamination issues. And that's because they're they're conscious recyclers, yeah. and they're educated recyclers. And so that drive up and drop off is open 24/7, 365 days a year. We even had it operating during the pandemic shutdown. So I think that we won't have mandates like in other places, simply because we just have a giant landfill, and because there is no public uprising demand. Or push demand, for it, yeah. demand. And that's how things change. Things change when the public demands it.
Again, our number is 702-258-3552. I want to bring up an email we got from somebody named David. And this is a question, actually, we kind of got to right at the start of this, but it's a question that's sort of eternal. And if people are just tuning in, they might have this question. So I'm going to put it out there one more time. David says, I understand China has stopped buying recycled materials from the U.S., and most or all recycling ends up in the landfill. What exactly happens to Las Vegas's recycled materials? And Tara Pike, I want to put this to you because that is the thing you will hear in Las Vegas year after year, maybe week after week. People will snicker and say, ain't no way, this is Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. They don't recycle. They're not doing it. And you're somebody who, you're not a part of the industry, but you study the industry and you know how it works. Did you ever have those doubts? And what do you think now?
You know, the myths about recycling and trash in Las Vegas are amazing and just unreal in some cases. You know, when I was starting UNLV's recycling program, I had lots of administrators say to me, oh, it doesn't matter. We can just put our stuff in the trash and they sort it out. They don't sort it out. It doesn't get sorted out. But that was their way of saying, we don't need to set up a separate recycling program, a separate diversion program, because it's all getting sorted. And that's not true. They don't sort the trash. It's impossible. It's infeasible. It's not economical. And then other myths I've heard is, oh, they're just burying all of the recycling separate from the trash, waiting for the market to go up, and then they'll unbury it. And I'm like, who is thinking of these weird theories? These don't happen.
Well, it's the internet is the home to weird theories and everything else. So,
and then the idea that things aren't getting recycled, that's not true either. Things are getting recycled. Republic Service would not continue diverting materials if they weren't able to market them, if they weren't able to sell them. China is still buying recyclable materials from countries, but they just want them to be clean recycling. They're not buying dirty recycling anymore. They shifted from allowing countries to send them bales of contaminated materials to demanding that countries send them clean recycling.
Yeah, okay.
So they're not buying dirty recycling anymore. Right. So they are still buying recycling.
If you have a plastic jar with peanut butter, rinse that thing out, or as last time you were on here said, give it to your dog and lick that thing clean.
Exactly.
And then throw it in. By the way, we got an email too, and this pertains to something we talked about earlier. Susan says, you just finished telling us flexible plastic film is not recyclable. So, in capital letters, what are we supposed to do with it? This discussion is raising more questions than it's answering. Please dig a little deeper when the guests are not detailed enough. So, Jeremy, what do you do with the flexible
plastic? You throw it in the trash.
So, I apologize if I wasn't clear enough, but no, it's not recyclable curbside. So, again, if we look at that recycling symbol in very small print, it will tell you what to do with it, and it says store drop-off only. A lot of the stores have a little collection bin at the front of the store for you to drop it in, and that is source-separated material.
What do they do with it?
The idea is that they can send it back to a recycler and have it processed. But here's where I have an issue. It's very weird for me to say that I have an issue with recycling because I love recycling.
Yeah.
But sometimes we put too much weight on the value of recycling. It is so fundamentally important when we're talking about sustainability, but it's a piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole thing, right? We have to do other things to be sustainable and have an ethical culture, right? And that's reducing our impact. So trying to cut that stuff out, bring your own bags. There's a statistic out there that shows that one reusable grocery bag saves about 20,000 single-use bags in its lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that woman's frustration that she's not getting the answers that she wants, but some things just aren't recyclable. You know, you just can't force it. There is no market for it. There is no way to process it. When you send flexible plastic curbside, it gets caught in all of the mechanics of the sorting line. It gets dirty. And once flexible plastic, like a grocery bag, like a produce bag, once those things get dirty, once they get ripped up, they're trash. They're landfill. So yeah, you can take them back to the grocery store and put it in the bin in the front of the grocery store. But like Jeremy said, switch to reusable bags. That's the best thing.
Mm, okay.
Be conscious about all the flexible plastic that you buy, and just don't beat yourself up when you have to throw it away.
Yeah.
Because if it comes, if your Amazon package comes with the big bubbles,
yeah,
it goes in the garbage. If you send it to the recycling facility, all you're doing is creating more work for the people on that line, more work for the machines, and it just ends up at the landfill anyway. So okay. just don't beat yourself up.
All right. A recycling guilt is what you're talking about. The religion of recycling. 702-258-3552. Gus from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. Good
morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask a question about something I've noticed in the difference between how a Republic handles recycling in Henderson compared to the county, Las Vegas. In Henderson, on the top of the lid of the recycling bins, there's a very well-done sheet that explains what can be recycled and what can't with pictures. And I think that's a very good way to get people involved, because it's easy, because it's right there on your recycle bin.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, here in Las Vegas, at least in the condo complex where I live, we have our own individual cans and bins, and explanations aren't on the bins. So I'm wondering why Republic doesn't provide that on the bins in Las Vegas.
And Jeremy, in a way that goes to one of your survey answers, 17% of the people said they didn't have enough information. What about that? That seems like it might be a little costly to put that on each. He's talking about individual bins within an apartment, which are smaller probably,
mm-hmm.
but something that's very clear for them to see.
Yeah, and I just want to make the clarification that isn't a municipality, driven thing.
Right.
There are some of our collection cans out there that don't have the pictures on the top. But for the most part, a large number of them do. I would say majority of them do have the picture on top. And, now especially, anytime you move houses, you move to the city, you get a new house, and you get new carts, all the carts have that graphic on the top that tell you what is recyclable.
The great big ones. The light blue ones.
Yeah, exactly. The curbside ones. For your home bin, if you have a bin inside your house, those are purchased privately. We don't obviously have any control over putting a picture on there. You can absolutely go on to recyclingsimplified.com and you can download that same picture, print it out, tape it to the top of your lid. You can do that. But for curbside collection bins, any new cart that goes out there does have that picture.
Right. So some did go out without the pictures on the lids.
Yeah, some did.
Because I don't have them at my house either.
Gus, that's recyclingsimplified.com. I hope that helps you. And joining us from Las Vegas, Lori, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh.
I have a question about post-consumer cartons, like milk cartons the boxes that soup come in. In a brochure that came out ages ago from Republic Services, it said that we could recycle those. So I was wondering if we still could, because this brochure is older.
Okay,
that's
a good question.
If we can, do we have to remove the plastic pour spout, like on your milk carton? And if you could tell me that, you would be settling a marital argument.
I'm really good at settling marital arguments.
Do you mean that hard plastic where the opening is, maybe on something that's more cardboard, the rest of it?
Yeah, think about a milk carton. I mean, I don't know who does your grocery shop, but think about the milk carton.
And they have that twist-off thing. I buy by the gallon, so...
Oh, excuse me. So, but honestly, my husband will stand there with scissors and cut that plastic ring out for 30 minutes if he needs to. So please, you know, can we still recycle these, and should we remove the ring?
Well, let's save a marriage here. Jeremy, go ahead.
Well, hey, Lori, thank you for the question. And I do have to extend a heartfelt appreciation to your husband for going through that effort. But unfortunately, no, we don't take the cartons anymore. We did experiment with it for a very short time. We did have a market to send those to, but it's a very niche market. Cartons themselves are a very challenging material. We think of them typically as a very simple thing. It's a milk carton, right? But it's actually a very complex material. It's a paper carton with a poly-coated lining on the inside and outside to make it water or milk-proof. And then you do have that rigid plastic top. So you essentially have three different materials combined in one. That requires very specialized processes on the back end beyond us at the recycling center that can actually deconstruct those components to recycle them. So that market tapered off, and we just don't have anybody that wants it.
So that goes for the orange juice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Orange juice, milk cartons, soup, soup broth. Soup broth is actually even more challenging because sometimes they have an aluminum liner. So now you've got four materials in one.
Right, like your coconut water that comes in the box that has a aluminum liner on the inside.
Yep. Or soy milk.
Nope.
Those boxes. Don't take any of that.
Nope.
So it's good for you, but bad for the garbage dump.
But the husband being so conscientious,
that's awesome.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
I wish everybody was like that.
So however that marital dispute plays out, he's a good man for putting the effort in there.
Thank you for that call, Lori. Tom from Henderson has a TV question. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you for taking the call.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, I took a flat screen TV to the Henderson transfer station. And on Hazardous Waste Day, I thought I was going to recycle it. I was told that we don't recycle flat screen TVs, throw it in with the rest of the trash.
Tara Pike is nodding. Yeah. Tara?
I've been told by Best Buy and by the Blind Center that that's not the case, and they were introducing toxic material into the landfill.
All right.
So, yeah, you need to take – so a flat screen TV actually has less hazardous material than a tube TV. Tube TVs are full of hazardous materials. But, you want to definitely take those more to an electronics e-waste specialized place like Sustain is one in town.
Where is that?
I think Nevada Recycling. Is it Nevada Recycling? They take e-waste. You basically want to look up where to take e-waste. And again, you might see that you're going to have to pay a little bit to get that thing recycled. Not all e-waste has a charge to it, but TVs are particularly difficult. And even the size of them sometimes can cause a problem.
Okay, yeah, there's massive. But Jeremy, I have a suggestion, and you can take this back to the home office and see what the folks in the tower say. But, you do have every 2 weeks a big item day.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't people put that out? Couldn't you do the recycling on some of those big items, pick those up in separate trash haulers on that day? Because I'm talking about convenience again.
Yeah, sure. In theory, yes. But in a broader scale, no. That would require separate collection. It would have to be a truck solely collecting those types of materials, which would be extremely costly, but it would also be very difficult because, if you think about a given bulk day, not everybody's got a TV or an electronic item out there. And then also it would require a different truck altogether because our trucks that are collecting the bulk items or just your day-to-day trash and recycling, they do have compactors in the back, and we can't go compacting electronics for things that we mentioned earlier on because of the fire hazard, and we don't want to burn down a truck in the middle of your neighborhood. So it would require a completely different fleet, and it's just realistically, it's not feasible.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question. Very good question. Again, 702-258-3552 joining us now. Catherine from Summerlin, who wants to talk about those Trader Joe's plastic bags. Go ahead, Catherine.
So I'm glad you're doing this program today. And I know that Trader Joe's did use those plastic bags.
Yeah.
They were meant to be recycled. They're not like other grocery store bags. They're very heavy duty. But anyway, beyond that, I was in there just about a week ago, and there was not a plastic bag in sight.
Oh.
So I thought that was good.
Yeah. Do you mean they're supposed to be recycled or reused?
Used.
Reused. Okay.
Yeah. And did I say recycled?
Yeah. No, it's okay.
It was a brain, senior
yeah.
brain, whatever. Anyway, and I did have, I don't know if you covered this earlier, no pizza box can be recycled, even if it has no oil spots in it?
This is my favorite question. Who wants this?
So
I
deal with a lot of pizza boxes at UNLV. So if it has no oil stains on it, if it's a clean piece of cardboard, put that in your recycle bin. If the bottom has oil, greasy oil on it and the top doesn't, rip the top off, put the top in recycling, put the bottom with the grease in the garbage. That's what we do at the UNLV Recycling Center. We look at them. We say, that whole thing is greasy, garbage. Half of this is good, half's bad. It really comes down to making sure that greasy side doesn't make it into the recycling bin.
Yeah, I suppose it would be useless to try to wash out that
no,
grease
you can't.
With
it won't come
soap
out.
And water.
Yeah, no,
and
don't
Dawn
do that.
Or something. 702-258-3552, joining us now, Richard from Henderson. Welcome.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for answering my call. Yeah, I had a bad experience trying to recycle. After I was laid off during the pandemic, I separated all my paper from my glass, from my single-use plastics to my recyclable plastics in different containers. And the only place in town I could find was the Henderson landfill that would take them. And nobody else would take the recycle. I live in a condo, and the we don't have recycle bin here. So I try to do it myself. And I end up waiting in line an hour just to drop off my recyclables, because they won't let you get ahead of the rest of the people putting, their bigger trash items in the landfill. You have to wait in line with everybody else, and it's just so discouraging. I gave up. I went to the effort of getting separate trash containers, and it was for naught. It just takes too much time to try to recycle. It's discouraging. Now in California, they have for recyclable plastics, they have a small refund, mm-hmm. which encourages it. But we don't do that here. I don't know why.
So two things. One is I like you because you work so hard to recycle. You're one of my favorite people right now. And two, I'm really sorry that was hard for you to do. We at UNLV, we have a drive up and drop off. It's open all the time. It never closes. You just drive your car up and you dump your recycling in our dumpsters. You don't have to separate it as great as you did. All your aluminum, steel, plastic, containers, paper, and cardboard can all be mixed together and put in our blue bin. And then we do keep glass separate, and so your glass would go in our glass dumpster. And so I encourage you, if you want to continue to recycle, to use UNLV's drive up and drop off. And then in terms of California's bottle bill, it would be great if there was a federal bottle bill and all the states were covered under a federal thing. But what happens in California is when you buy something in a deposit container, you pay that deposit at the checkout. And then when you return the bottle or can, you get your deposit back minus a small administration fee. So it is a great thing because it does increase recycling. Like if you look at Hawaii's container recycling rate, it's just really high. Mm-hmm. And that's because all of the things that all the bottles and cans that people buy, they do get returned. I was at a wedding in Hawaii, and all of the 70-plus-year-olds went around and collected all the bottles and cans. Mm. It was bags and bags of cans because it was a huge Filipino wedding. And they took the time to do that because they were going to take it and get the deposit back. Mm-hmm. So that is good, and I wish Nevada had it, and unfortunately we don't. But please use the drive up and drop off that we have because it's really convenient. There is no lines, and you can come whenever you want.
And joining us now is Diane from Henderson. Welcome to the program.
Oh, well, thank you for taking me in. Thank you for doing the show today. It's like a therapy session. I am a retired teacher. I used to do recycling at my school, and it's always been really important to me. And I guess a while back I heard that we weren't recycling glass anymore. And I'm one of these people who do like a kombucha or a probiotic drink every day. And so I literally have hundreds of these bottles. I can't make myself put them out in the recycling because I hear the glass all smashing when my neighbors, you know, when they stick it in the truck. And I just wondered, will they ever start recycling glass again? And could there be an incentive? I've actually called these companies and asked them if they could do a dispense, you know, like where they can dispense the drink at the store because I have great bottles, you know, and I don't mind washing them and refilling them, you know. So.
Well, Jeremy, you don't recycle glass?
No, we do. We do take glass bottles and jars curbside. What she's referring to with the school district is the school district was dealing with some unique challenges of contamination, which we talked a little bit about earlier.
Oh, within the school district.
Within the school district. So the school district sent out a memo, you know, to the 300-plus schools around the valley that they really were only looking for cardboard and paper. Now, that's not to say that if you guys as a collective at your school don't have, you know, if you guys have a sustainability club, or if you or your administrator and your janitorial staff are really involved and you guys put the effort into making sure that it's only clean recyclables going into your container, you can recycle the same things that you do curbside. But the school district was just trying to make a unanimous, simplified approach to getting the contamination out there because we were getting, and not we're not the only recycler that handles the school district. There are other companies out there, but I mean, we've seen security cameras, chairs, desks, I mean, a number of interesting things that shouldn't be in the recycling bin coming through the recycling bin.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Diane. I hope that helped you. 702-258-3552. Before we get to your calls, I have a question. Jeremy Walters with Republic Services. There is a rise in takeout food during the pandemic. People aren't going to restaurants as much. They're ordering online or they're going and picking it up themselves. When you do that, you get a lot of single-use plastics like forks and knives and spoons. Are those recyclable?
Unfortunately, they are not. A lot of the takeout waste is just waste. But there are things that we can do to try to combat that. If you are ordering takeout a lot, you know, when you call your order in or even in the notes section online, just ask them to skip giving you the plastic cutlery. You know, use your day-to-day silverware and dishware at home. It'll cut out significantly, especially if you're eating out multiple times a week.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And Tara Pike, UNLV Sustainability Coordinator, I wonder if there's any move afoot to persuade more restaurants to use compostable or recyclable containers.
So compostable containers is a good thing if you're going to actually be able to divert those containers to a composting facility. If you're not, then it doesn't matter whether it's a plastic one or a compostable one when it ends up in the landfill. And honestly, in some cases, like the compostable utensils, not really the compostable container, but the compostable utensils, they can have a very high energy input on the production side. And so in a lot of cases, it's better to use the plastic throwaway utensils if both of them are going to end up in the landfill. And if you compost at home, like I do, the compostable utensils need a really high heat to compost. And so it's not going to work in a small compost bin. It has to be an industrial setting for those utensils to break down. At UNLV, we do use compostable utensils, compostable serviceware, but we have an in-vessel composter on site that we put those items through and actually do make soil out of them. The compostable utensils typically will have to go through more than once.
What is a compostable fork made out of?
Plants.
It's just compacted, really hard, compactable.
It's called PLA, and it's compostable service ware is made out of potatoes.
So you could potentially eat these things by
accident. I wouldn't eat them. No. Oh, no. There are silverwares out there that purport to be edible. I have never tasted one. They have some plates that they say that you can eat them.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. It's just fiber, right?
More fiber with compostable utensils. Maybe that's the direction we go. Edible.
Reusable is always the best. So Jeremy's suggestion of just telling them, don't give me the silverware because you're eating at home anyway.
Yeah.
I carry my own silverware. I have a little, it's the size of a credit card, and it's a little bamboo fork with a spoon on the other side. And it literally is the size of a credit card. And I carry that with me.
Or just eat with your fingers.
Oh, everything tastes better when you eat with your fingers anyway. So.
Absolutely. 702-258-3552. Anne from Henderson, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I have been interested to know the numbers under the triangles on plastic bottles. Are they for the consumer use? For the recycling people use, why are they there and what do they mean?
Do you also have this question? It was written by our producer back there about the recycling of hearing aid batteries.
Yes, okay. I do.
All right. So, Jeremy?
Yeah. So the plastic numbers, those are actually for you as a consumer. So they're for you to be able to identify what type of plastic it is. Each number has a corresponding, we'll call it letter coding, right? Number one would be PET. That's drawn out. It's polyethylene terephthalate. So for you as a consumer, you can actually go take a look and see the process to make a PET bottle. Certain ones are better for certain contents, you know, consumable goods versus, you know, like hand sanitizer or like shampoos and conditioners. So they do have a corresponding number to tell you what type of plastic it is. I can tell you at the recycling center, we're not picking up plastic bottles and looking for a number. The process moves too quick. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with, you know, roughly 800 tons of recyclables every single day. So it does us no good. But it also helps you identify, you know, in accordance to your curbside recycling program, what can actually go in the bin.
I do think it's caused a lot of confusion,
yes,
though, because there is 1 through 7. And so people go, well, it has the recycle symbol with the number in it.
Right.
So it must be recyclable. But like number 4 is your film plastic, your flexible plastic. And like I said, that kind of stuff, your bread bags, your produce bags, your Ziploc bags, your grocery bags, disposable grocery bags, those need to be taken back to a grocery store and put in that film plastic bin to get those, or flexible plastic bin to get those recycled. And that causes confusion.
Yes.
Like a number 6 is your polystyrene. And so you have a styrofoam cup and you go, oh, well, it has a recycle symbol, so I'm going to throw it in the recycle bin. Polystyrene number 6 styrofoam is not recyclable in our community. Some communities can do it, but we do not because of the market and the cost.
Okay. So. 1, 2, and 5. Those are the numbers within those triangles that indicate materials that can be recycled in Las Vegas and Clark County. 1, 2, and 5. Again, we're taking your calls about recycling, and joining us now, Sonia from Las Vegas. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I have a question in reference to canned goods. Rather than throw an individual can into the recycle bin, I will collect some under my sink very neatly. And when I have several of them, I will put them in a film plastic bag you would get for like lettuce or something, so that I don't have a big mess.
Right.
When I put it into the recycle container.
Makes sense.
Is that okay, or should I be making a mess and have no film plastic in there?
So I would counter that a little bit with if you're preparing your recyclables properly, there shouldn't be a mess at all.
You mean cleaning them out.
Yeah, what I mean by that is...
Yeah, they are clean, but it's just when I say making a mess, I don't mean a mess inside the recyclables, the container. I mean that it's banging all over the place. I'm very neat, tidy person.
You know, like she doesn't want the cans like laying all over within this space.
Well, sure, no, and I can appreciate that, but no, we really need recyclables loose in the recycling bin. We are sorting through one thing at a time. One thing that I suggest to folks, and it helps with the method of collection, is think outside the bin. Right, you don't need necessarily a bin to collect your recyclables before you take them to your toter outside. I have a wicker basket that I keep under my pantry, the lowest shelf of my pantry, and I throw my bottles and cans and paper and cardboard in there, and then once that's full, I go dump that whole thing into the recycling bin. It's not going to take up space, you know, because you can get a really small container, but yeah, don't bag recyclables.
Thank you for that call. I really appreciate that. Joining us now, Nancy from Henderson. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. My question is to clarify, what about berry and egg crate and, you know, apple containers that are plastic? They say one on them, but I'm wondering if they're that flexible, even though they're not exactly like a plastic jug. And, you know, so it's berries, strawberries kind of things, eggs, apples. And then moving on from that, it's even like yogurt containers and lids. You know, do those sort of things, even if they say one, are they really supposed to go in?
Yeah, and it's a good question. You know, in theory, yes. What we find is sometimes the end market, the people who actually take the plastics and recycle them, they do get picky, and sometimes they don't like what we call clamshells, and that's what your fruit comes in. Again, this is one of those things where I try to say, choose more sustainable products, right? Eggs, I try to get people to buy eggs in paper cartons because the paper is always recyclable. Apples themselves, try to buy apples loose. Anytime you can buy produce loose, you're doing the most sustainable option, right? Reducing the amount of packaging. So when it does come down to those clamshells, though, yes, we can take them. It may create downstream issues, though.
And they need to be clean,
yes.
You know. And
What about egg crates? You know, I'll take an egg, and sometimes it breaks, and I, you know, the yolk, and it's all over the...
Yeah.
I throw those out because I think, well, they're not going to take
that. That's the best thing. And especially if, really? You know, Tara mentioned styrofoam. You know, there are still a lot of styrofoam egg crates out there. The styrofoam egg crates are 100% without a doubt trash.
Yeah, it does way. So, like, if you composted and you had a paper egg carton and you got the egg all over the paper egg carton, you could compost that
sure.
At that point. But if you could also tear the dirty part off and throw that away, and then put the clean part in your recycle bin,
like a pizza box.
But anything that's got like any paper product that's covered in food or grease or anything that can mold and be stinky needs to go in the landfill or your compost bin.
We are taking your calls, and joining us now is Ryan from Henderson, who's referring to a caller we got earlier. Welcome, Ryan.
Yes, thank you. The reason I was calling is, too, I appreciate the opportunity to recycle in Henderson. We have the big bin. The question I ask is, one, we spend a ton of money on water at every householder that has to wash their trash, essentially, because if it wasn't being in the recycling bin, we'd throw it in the garbage. Well, every single plastic bottle the lady called earlier and said she pristinely cleans her cans, she's wasting a ton of water so we can throw away the garbage to the recycling bin. Now, that may be fine, and you may say, oh, no, it's fine, and that's great. That's the question I have is, am I actually wasting water to recycle? And the second one is a more important one. I've read articles. I don't have it to the top of my tongue to comment on it, but you may be able to refer to them. There's a lot of articles out saying that these recycling plans don't have any effect on helping the environment, helping in the use of consumers. It helps the cities. They may get some money on their trash and help defray costs.
Right.
And then the second one is to make people feel good. But are we actually making a difference, or am I just wasting water and pretending that I understand the composting, and that's a good thing. But is this other stuff actually making a difference, or are we just, you know, kidding ourselves.
I want to end with that question because that is actually one of the answers in the survey. Some people in the survey believe it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Tara Pike, take it away.
So in terms of rinsing your recyclables, it shouldn't take very much water to rinse a recyclable. I mean, like just a spitful to kind of swirl it around and dump it out. It doesn't have to be pristine. Also, water, unless you have a house with a septic tank, water is recycled in Las Vegas and put back into the system. So you're not wasting water. Anything that's like, if you have a really super dirty thing, like a peanut butter jar, yeah, maybe you don't want to take the time to use all the water to get all that peanut butter off. I throw it in the dishwasher, but you do want to do that right. And then in terms of, is recycling making a difference? Yes, recycling is making a difference. Materials made from recyclable materials use less water. They use less energy. They make less air pollution. So yes, you are making a difference when you recycle.
Thank you, Tara Pike, UNLV's sustainability coordinator, and Jeremy Walters of Republic Services.